Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Memphis on X, R. Silverfield. Coach, how's it going?
Gabe, great. As always, appreciate you having me on. Excited for big game Friday night and glad to be back home.
Yeah, big game on Friday. But I do want to review. We didn't have you on last week. And what we have seen since last time we talked, tremendous amount of fight from this team. You had a low 3 weeks ago and a high this past week, a couple of weeks ago. Then you sort of take that momentum, handle business against Rice. What do you attribute that ability your team has to have that sort of short memory, move on, not get caught up emotionally after what happened in Birmingham 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, it's 100% credit to the players. I mean, I've been saying this all along. This group's just different. And I've made mention to this. They're very talented, but I can't sit here. You know, you and I could go player by player and argue there may be some more talented teams in the past for us, but look, this group fights. They care about each other. They care about doing it the right way. And they've created this culture where they believe and they're going to do it the right way all the time. You know, they put their blinders on. They go to work every single week. You know, it was a great rebound and bounce back. And just couldn't be more pleased by the way they attack every single day.
All right. Now, I need to ask this because this is something that popped up my senior year in 2017. We went down to Central Florida. Went down to Orlando, and we got our brains beat in. I mean, it was ugly. But I thought that it served as a lesson the rest of the year. Hey, don't get caught up reading your own material out there on social media and in the media. Put your head down. Don't let that happen to you again. How much of a lesson was that game in Birmingham for you guys? And you know, how much do you think that has the chance to sort of continue to be a calling sort of point of emphasis? Hey, we can't let this happen again the rest of the year.
Well, you know, I told them post-game, and I don't want to reflect on it too much, but, like, remember this feeling. Like, this is awful. And I think our guys understood that they'll do whatever it takes to never feel that way again. And ultimately, the preparation. And look, our guys prepare. They work hard. You know, I've always used the word trap games and all that stuff. I do everything in my power to try to get them to focus on the task at hand, right? I'm dealing with 17 to 24-year-olds. Easier said than done. It's easy for me to get off social media and not realize if Gabe Kuhn says I'm the best coach in the world or if I'm the worst coach in the world. Frankly, it doesn't matter what, you know? So
right.
I'm able to block that out. But, you know, I tell these kids all the time, like, the same. Be careful who you listen to, because the same people that are going to be patting you on the back when you do well are going to be wanting your jobs when you're not. And so just focus and be your best version of yourselves every single day. I think they bought into that, but I've got to continue to push it, right? 78 new players. Understanding, hey, this is what it looks like. Some of our guys aren't used to winning. Some of our guys only know one way of losing. And ultimately, it's our job as a staff. My job is to make sure, look, man, every week is its own season, and to be as focused as you can. And I think our guys fully understand that. But again, it goes back to that term resiliency, right? Like, yes, we had a bump in the road, and hopefully that we've learned from it and we can grow from it and, you know, continue to just one week at a time. And, you know, someone asked me last night, hey, well, you know, the playoffs and all that stuff.
Right.
I don't even think about that. That is the furthest thing from my mind. All I can think about right now is Tulane. And frankly, that's all that matters.
Well, and listen, I mean, that's a part of, you know, getting later into the season, still only having one loss to your resume, you know, sort of being the highest ranked group of five team, even though there was no teams ranked in the college football playoff rankings last night. There's distractions out there. So with your team, with that, with, you know, the talk about you and jobs, and honestly, on the other side, with this Friday, Tulane with Coach Summerall, they're dealing with that as well. What's your message to your team in regards to all the distractions out there about you potentially changing jobs, college football playoff, all this different stuff with the coaching carousel? How have you been handling that?
It's the same message all along, right? Let's just focus on what we have to handle, and that truly is Tulane. Like, the furthest thing from our mind is thinking about the playoffs when we go out there for practice today, right? I mean, like, that is the absolute furthest thing. It's how do we get better? How do we continue to plan for a game at 8 o'clock on national television? And that's all that matters. And, you know, as for me as an individual, anytime that something's mentioned, as I said in the past, that's a direct credit to the players. It's a credit to guys like you that I was fortunate enough to coach, and this administration are great fans. But none of that has anything to do with trying to get ready for Tulane. And I think our guys, this entire program, has bought into that and put the blinders on, and this 1-0 mindset, right? And we kind of talked about it, winning every single day and then winning the game each weekend. And I'm proud of the guys, and hopefully it turns out into a positive result here in a few short evenings.
Now, you guys have been throwing the ball a lot more lately, and Brendan has been handling it pretty well, it seems, as the season has gone along. But the run game hasn't been there quite like it was in the early going. I'm sure you can point to execution, but what are you seeing out there from opposing defenses? What are they sort of dictating when you guys show up, when you look at the game plan and how people are defending?
It's so unique, right? You sit there and watch a team, whether it's, you know, South Florida, Rice, and you say, okay, and you do a study, right? If it's a new coordinator, you're just watching what they've done this past season. If it's a D coordinator like one at South Florida that we faced multiple times, that we know it's history, that we, you know, there's a true, hey, we got 30 game study on this guy, right? Let's put it together and kind of, and as a coach, that's your job, right? What are the, if they're a 92% three down front and 5% blitz, well, that's probably what you should practice, right? The majority of the time, obviously you practice other things. Hey, this showed up a couple times. But when you're dealing, you gotta be careful. I can't sit there and say, okay, well, now all of a sudden we're going to go, let's spend 50% of our time on four down and 58% of our time on blitz, when that's not what they've shown. That's not what history has shown. You got to be ready for everything, right? But paralysis by analysis, as I often say, in chasing ghosts. So we are seeing teams that are actually going opposite of what they've shown. So, you know, South Florida team that had not shown to blitz at all this year, very, very low percentages, actually one of the lowest in college football, decides to come out and says, you know what? We're going to force you to throw it, and if you're capable of throwing it, you're going to beat us. If not, then we're going to beat you. And so you're seeing those different things. Rice challenging, you know, people sitting there saying, we can pressure wide receivers. We think we're better than you, and you've got to go out and prove it. And so that's kind of what we're seeing. We're seeing unique fronts that we've never seen. You know, even playing Troy, I mean, they had a defense coordinator back for his second year, and then all of a sudden they play us, and it's a different defense. And you just got to be like, oh, my gosh, okay. So being ready for it, and that's part of it, and taking what they give us. If teams are going to allow us to line up and drop eight or give us a light box, we're going to run the football. If they play the extra hat and, you know, try to play man coverage and pressure us, we're going to have to find ways to win with the football, getting it out quickly and getting to our wide receivers.
That's a game of football. That sounds about right. Now, B. Lou, holler at me about him. Goes down with an injury sort of late in that game. What's the update? And then just curious. I know we've talked about this, but thoughts on his style? Like, you know, when I feel like it's a little bit of a catch 22 where, you know, his style is not going down, and he can get extra yards, but at the same time, he has had a couple of, you know, nicks and bruises along the way because of the way he plays.
Yeah, we are, even as of today, still trying to figure out whether he gives us the best option to win the football game. And if he can go, he's fully healthy, we'll put him in there. If not, we'll see one of the other young guys, whether it's A.J. Hill or Anton Maiden, we'll get a feel for them, but feel very confident in those two, if that may be the case. And then, you know, with B. Lou, you know, listen, he's a competitor, and that's the one thing that makes him so great is he loves football, he loves to compete, and he's a tough son of a gun. the part that, you know, we talk about, like, even before he got injured in the game, you know, six plays earlier, he takes an unnecessary, just absolute hit. And I said, man, that's where you need to go down. That's where you need to get out of bounds. He says he understands. And then, you know, a few plays later, he gets hurt. And so, you know, he's got to continue to understand. We told him we got a lot of football left to play. We need to protect himself and be smart in situations. But it's hard to take away a young man that is just so adamant on, hey, I'm going to do whatever it takes, lay it out on the line every single week for my team. And it's hard. You don't want to take that away because there's a lot of guys out there in college football, not on this team, that aren't willing to lay it out on the line.
Now, feel free to no comment me because I know your style, at least until an injury report comes out. But has Brendan been able to practice? I was going to say, has Brendan been able to practice this week?
We're going to continue to evaluate what he can do.
Okay.
I think that's one of the things. Yep. That's why they make the injury report, so you guys can.
So I can pester you and ask you, and you can still no comment me.
Yeah, at 5:01 p.m. on Friday, you can sit there and say, that son of a gun.
Right. Yeah. Just like before that South Florida game. Yeah.
It's okay.
Gotta love that.
I've seen some of these other ones that come out, and I'm like, huh. That guy hadn't played football in 2 years, but he's listed as probable. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Now let me throw this one out there. Any other injuries we should be paying attention to that could come into question this weekend?
No, I think we're looking okay. We had a freshman that actually his first game playing last week. Who's out for the season with an injury, had to have surgery. And some other younger guys that have played sparingly that are dealing with some things. But other than that, we'll see what we got, and all hands on deck.
All right, now second half defense so far this year has been a strength for you guys. You guys tend to step up, make adjustments along the way. You continue to see that as the season goes along. What have you thought of your defense and sort of them getting better as games go along?
Well, that's what you want, right? You want to be able to handle it. I think every team that we're facing throws a kitchen sink at us in the first quarter. You know, it's like, all right, here are these trick plays. Here's the, you know, our scripted 15 plays. I mean, even going back to the Arkansas game, I mean, the second play of the game, they ran a play I'd never seen where the fullback is flips through and runs a deep cross. And, you know, also the fullback that ran a 4.6 240. So we're seeing everybody's best early in all these things. And again, same like we talked about for us as an offense, seeing unique defenses and something we haven't studied. Our defense is going out there and saying, okay, wait a second. Right? Well, they've never shown this on film. Let's make sure our guys are comfortable. And, you know, sometimes you still want your guys to be aggressive. You still want them to go attack the ball. But, you know, there's times when it's like, wait, this is a unique formation. What's this guy doing in the backfield? And so sometimes that can cause a little bit of hesitancy. But I'm just so proud of the way they continue to battle and fight throughout the whole game because it's paying dividends, obviously, especially in second halves.
All right, now final thing, and I'm sad we didn't get to talk about this last week because we did share some texts about this, but apparently I'm like the old curmudgeon at 30 years old, the old football purist. but going for two down eight, it's something that in the NFL is pretty consistent. I know that we've talked about analytics and how much it affects football games now, but take me behind the scenes in that type of decision being made,
sure.
Because it's being made more and more often.
Yeah, no, and I love to have open dialogue and discussions, right? I guess what? If 50% of the people agree and 50% disagree, we're all wrong, right? I mean, it's whichever side you're on, the other guy's an idiot. So if it works, wow, what a great smart coach. If it doesn't, what a moron. We've seen how that works. But my whole deal is this. When you're down two scores, most of the time, if it's a game, you feel like you've got the momentum, okay? And it's a game you feel like you're going to need to continue to step on the throttle. You go for two initially because it's a 52-point conversions, I believe, are 52% success rate in college football. Okay, again, not to be a stat nerd and not to shove analytics down anybody's
throat. No, I hear you.
I certainly don't. Yeah, you know, just if I relied only on analytics, we'd be going for it every fourth and one, you know, even on our own one. It's just the nature of the way these things work. It's how they sell copies of that book. But my whole thought is this. You go for two, okay? If you don't get it, you still have a 52% chance to get in the next time to tie the game. If the first time you get it, then the next time you kick the extra point, you win the football game. So sometimes going for two down, two scores, you're playing to win the football game. You're not playing to tie the game. And if the percentages are 1% to 2% slightly higher of you giving yourself the opportunity to win the football game, you got to take that every single time. It's no different. Like, when do you call a timeout to ice a kicker? You know, they have been told it's 2.6% better chance of the guy missing the kick if you call the timeout prior to him warming up. You know, so you go into all those things like, man, it's such a fine line. Do you try to play the odds? And so it's all said and done. If it gives you a little bit of advantage, I think that's where you're at. Every game's different, you know, and you got to play it as you go forward.
Now, something the question that pops up with that pretty consistently is, why do you go for the first one and not the second one for the win? Is it because, hey, these are 2 2-point conversions? It is very unlikely to miss and fail 2 2-point conversions in a row, or what's the thought process behind that, where you go for it on the first one, then you can kick the extra point on the second one potentially for the win, as opposed to just going for the extra point for the first one and then going for the win on the second?
Because you give yourself, again, you go for two the first time. If you don't get it, you know you have to go for two.
As many chances as possible.
Yes, sir. Right? If you get the 2-point conversion the first time, you kick the extra point and give yourself a chance to win the football game. Say you miss both, okay, well, you're either going to tie the game or lose the game, or now do we have to onside kick it? All those things are factored into it. So, you know, if there's 38 seconds left in the game, or do you want to go back to the South Florida game, right, where there's, you know, just under a minute, well, getting that second 2-point, again, obviously as the game went on, there's some different scoring elements to it, that sometimes it gets it factored out. Well, they could have kicked the field goal. I get all that, but ultimately, you know, when you're playing to win the game, going for it too early gives you that opportunity. Again, you miss it, then you got to go for two again. And if you give yourself a 50-50 chance or 52% chance to get it, that's what's all said and done. Again, we don't play the tie games. We're always trying to play the win the football game, especially with the way that game was going down. It's no different, right? You and I have talked about this before. I go back to COVID when we played Central Florida here, and they had a fantastic offense, and we had our first-team all-conference wide receiver decided to opt out the Wednesday night before the game. And there was some wondering if we could keep score with them and match what they were doing. And so, you know, opening kickoff, we receive it, and the ball's on the 34-yard line. It's 4th and 1, and we decide to go for it. And some people would say, what the hell are you doing? Well, we get it, and we go down and score, and we end up winning that game by 2 points and beat Central Florida for the first time in program history. Well, 5 weeks later, we were playing South Florida, same exact situation, but I thought we would be able to play a little bit better defense in that game and handle them. So we punted it away. So every game stands on its own merits. That's why you just strictly can't go by what an analytical book tells you.
And I will say the analytics did hold up. You guys did get the second 2-point conversion. So, you know, I did have to check myself on the old social media account. But, Coach, great stuff as always. Appreciate it. Good luck coming up on Friday.
Yeah, Gabe, as always, appreciate you having me on. Tiger fans, look forward to seeing you guys pack out the stadium this Friday night. It's going to be a massive one. We need you guys there loud and proud. It's a blackout game. Let's go get this thing. Let's go 1-0. Go, Tigers, go.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it, Coach. He is Ryan Silverfield, head football coach over at the University of Memphis. Big game coming up on Friday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.